up, my Freeform Renegades? You are tuned into the Freeform Network. Thank you for joining us for another fun episode of Freeform Radio. I'm your host, Noel, with my co-host, as always, Daniel.
Yes, sir, man. How are we all doing out there? Weather is great today, so I hope to go for maybe a little jog, a little walk, and enjoy some of this crisp air.
Yeah, and we got Andy here as well.
What's up, everyone? It's all good, Andy. I hope everybody's enjoying. Everybody had a good New Year. When this episode drops, it'll be a New Year. So hope everybody had some fun the night before or a couple of days before.
Definitely, definitely. Well, it's another nice crisp day here in Chicago. We're definitely in the winter now. But wherever you listeners are, we hope you're sitting cool, feeling good. And let's just get started with the episode for today. And so let's start off with Daniel. Looks like you did this demo for The Matrix with Unreal 5 Engine. How would that turn out?
Yeah, I got a chance to put it on. It's a next-gen like demo thing for like PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and I'm assuming PC as well. And it kind of showcases the Unreal 5 engine. It's the newest engine for Unreal, and they're kind of like trying to show all the bells and whistles. And yeah, it was cool, man. It was well fitted with The Matrix, just because The Matrix, the whole concept is everything is fake, and you know, you can't tell reality from what's fake and stuff like that. And the demo starts off with like some narrative from Keanu and Trinity. And they're both up there, and it's just live action actors talking. And then their like CG counterpart kind of walks in, and then they kind of like go back and forth, and they're just kind of like showing you how real things are getting in gaming nowadays, that you can't tell them apart, just like you can't tell them in The Matrix. And so it's not like in a hokey way. You know, at first I thought when I saw that, I'm like, this is going to get hokey, but it went really cool. And then a gameplay started, like you started playing some of The Matrix, and I don't know, I believe they're making a Matrix game. But if not, this is really cool. The engine looks really nice. Everything looks really crisp and clean. Now, granted, the demo was just that. It was a demo. You're kind of loosely shooting at things, but it's, you know, it's kind of like an aim reticle that's stuck onto objects, and you kind of just select which object you want to shoot first kind of thing. So this isn't like a legit, like, hey, this is the way gaming's going to be this next year or so like that. It really is more of a showcase of the tools that Unreal 5 has. And at the end of this short demo, you know, it's like 5-10 minutes or something, it goes through all the rendering tools that it has, all the collision tools that it has, and it kind of does like a quick overview where you can like toggle on and off these tools and see how they're functioning. And it was pretty neat. It was pretty neat to see it. I'm not a programmer or anything like that, so I don't know much about it. But it looked really cool. I'm sure it's making some developer excited. Like, oh, man, we should make our next game in Unreal because of these tools, I'm assuming. But, yeah, man, looked very cool. I'm a Matrix fan, but nothing super huge or anything like that. I'm a little excited for this new movie that's coming out, but nothing over the moon for. So we'll see it when we see it, when it comes out. But yeah, it was pretty cool.
So when you say Unreal Engine, I'm thinking it's for the demos on PlayStation 5.
Right? Yeah, like I mentioned, it's on next gen consoles. So it's on PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and I'm assuming PC.
And who's making the Matrix game? What company?
I don't believe anybody's making a game. I assume somebody is making a game, but this is just to showcase the engine, Unreal 5. So I heard the, I forget the name of the company now, the Coalition, the Xbox company that got put together in San Diego. I heard they helped a majority of this demo to put it together. but it's not for a game that they're producing. This is more just to showcase the tool. Like, it's kind of like if Audacity came out with some kind of demo to kind of show you, hey, this is how Audacity works, and show you all the bells and whistles. These are all the things you can do with it. That's what this is. This is not a game that's going to come out.
Yeah. So there's no game plan. It's all just like, I don't want to say a movie, like clips or something.
No. Like I mentioned, there's these reticles that you move when you're shooting, and you do jump into gameplay and you actually play the game for a few minutes. But yeah, it's not like open world, like you're going around GTA. At the end of the demo, it does open up to an open world platform, but it's really kind of bare bones. It's just you, the character, walking around what appears to be like New York. And there's NPCs walking around. There's cars. There's traffic. But there's really not much to do. You get into cars. You can drive around. And then you could zoom in and out your camera to kind of see details in the distance. And then you can toggle on and off some of the tools that they were talking about, like this anti-aliases that they use to kind of smooth out edges. You could toggle it on and off and see the difference that it makes. And you can kind of see the collision. You could turn it on and off and see like these glowing orbs going around the screen, showing you how the system recognizes that there's something colliding with something else. And it seemed pretty neat. I'm assuming tech geeks would get a kick out of this. I know a little bit about it, but you know, I'm more of a gamer and not a developer, so it looked cool, but you know, I'm sure there's people out there that are like, man, this is pretty next gen stuff.
Yeah, the Unreal demos that I've seen in the past, or at least like games that have used Unreal especially, they've always looked amazing, dude. And Unreal in itself is known for being like a high quality engine to use for games. So yeah, it's exciting to see that Unreal 5 is like being displayed, you know, for people to see. Hopefully developers do pick it up. And it's like, it's kind of ironic that they name themselves Unreal, because like the more they like advance their technology, the more real it looks and becomes.
Yeah, agreed, man. It's they play into that. They even in their dialogue, they talk about how unreal this looks. And you know, some of it's a little campy as far as the dialogue, but it fit really good with the Matrix. I thought it wasn't kind of overdone, and I thought it was cool. I've seen some other tech demos, but they're more just trailers, and where this is more of an interactive demonstration. So pretty cool. Cool tie-in with the movie. So I dug it for the 5 minutes that it is. But the only other thing I wanted to kind of bring up was, I don't know if you guys have seen that new South Park post-COVID special. Did you see it, Noel?
Yeah, it was hilarious, man.
Yeah, man. What I thought was the weirdest and the funniest, and that's only because I turned her off just for the podcast, but I got Alexa, and it was so funny, the Alexa portions of this special, and how far the tech has gotten in these years, or in the years that South Park, I forgot how far they had to go, 10 years or 15 years or whatever. And it was just nuts, man. They had like AIs driving your car for you, and you would just talk to her. And the AI is actually a person that you can have a relationship with. So it was really funny and weird. But yeah, a lot of cool stuff. So you dug it, Noel?
It was funny as hell, man. Seeing everybody older, Cartman, like completely changed his life around. It was just hilarious. It was like night and day, especially because I hadn't seen South Park in so long, especially any of their movies. I think the last movie I ever saw was the Bigger, Longer, Uncut, or whatever the hell it is called.
Right.
And yeah, I always liked it.
Did you get a chance to watch any of this, Andy?
I've only seen clips of it on YouTube. I tried watching it on one of the websites I use. I didn't get too far into it. I was having issues with the internet that day. But yeah, I see they released a part two recently. So I mean, I don't know how long it's supposed to go on. I thought it was just like a one-off thing.
Yeah, that's the weird part that I thought as well. When I first saw it, it doesn't have like a bow tie at the end finale. And it did leave me believing, like, man, is this going to like go on to the next season and the next season's going to jump off of this? Is that how this thing is going to work? I didn't really know what was going on after I saw it because it wasn't all tidied up. And then when I saw that part two came out, I'm like, what? I'm like, so I thought this was a special. I'm like, so is it like a mini, you know, collection or is it just two parts? Or, and I'm like, wow, I didn't really know nothing. And I didn't really see it being advertised as some kind of like, you know, three part episode special or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of known for doing that, but I really didn't understand the post-COVID the event or what they call, they don't call it a special, they call it an event or whatever,
right
and yeah. They've done it in the past with like Imagination Land, and they've done a couple three episode arc and episodes and made them into events or specials, but this one I thought it was going to be like an hour long episode and like that was it. I wasn't expecting like another part, and it's just, it's amazing how they're still relevant and how long they've been around. And they just keep reinventing themselves. And I don't know how they haven't been canceled yet. But yeah, right. South Park's always they're always one step ahead of the curve.
Well, yeah. Well, speaking of relevance, I mean, do you watch it regularly? I mean, I don't have cable, so I don't really tune into stuff like this. But whenever I do catch an episode here and there, because I do have Sling. And every now and then an episode comes across, but, I don't watch it regularly, but it's such a funny show when I do watch it that I miss watching and staying up to tune with it. I don't know if you guys watch any of it or not.
You know, I just got the collection, like all the seasons recently. So I'm going to rewatch it. It's been a long time.
Yeah. I mean, they're on HBO Max. So I do watch, some of the newer episodes on there. I binge watched them when we first got them because I don't have cable. But yeah, I mean, they're I watch clips on YouTube all the time, and there's some episodes I forgot, and I'm like, damn, this shit's offensive now, dude. Like, I don't know how how they haven't gotten in trouble. So there was there's some with the religion and the pedophile shit, pedophile stuff and sexual assault stuff. I just don't know how they get away with it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that they've been doing it for so long that it's acceptable to kind of hear about stuff like that, that they can talk about those edgy subjects that are a little uncomfortable times. You know, there's times that we want to talk about something here on the podcast and we're just like, you know, it's kind of controversial, edgy, and it's not really, how's it going to be perceived? Is our conversation going to be perceived in the right way? And I don't think Sarpath has that filter at all. They don't care. They'll just talk about anything.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I was watching clips of it on Saturday and there was an episode I do not even remember, but, when Magic the Gathering was hot, like the card game, there was an episode where they have roosters fighting with Magic the Gathering cards, so they call it cock magic. and then Stan's dad, Randy, is like, oh, cock magic is back. And he starts doing all these tricks with his junk. Like, it's getting up and down and waving around. And I'm like, this was on cable, dude. He's doing like a magic show with his junk in front of kids. And I'm just like, how did this ever air? I'll never know in today's climate, you know?
Well, you know, funny you say that, not to bring the conversation to dicks and stuff, but it was funny, man. I was watching that Netflix show, Big Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the second to last show of the season. They just released season 3, I think it is. And at the start of the episode, the one monster, the hormone monster, he's just like, by the end of this episode, you're going to see Santa's dick. So we're going to start this story. And blah, he goes into his whole diatribe about it. And sure enough, dude, in the episode, they show Santa's dick. And I'm just like, how is this shit on TV? I'm like, is it because it's on Netflix that, you know, they could show, you know, obviously it's animated. So it's like it's animated dicks. But I'm like, damn, man, this is getting nuts. I can't believe shit like this is on TV.
Well, Big Mouth has had some controversy because it's about kids and their sexuality, and it's pretty graphic. And I know this, I don't know what season they are. I remember like between the second or third season or second season, it was trending on Twitter. People were like kind of upset that this kind of show was on Netflix.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think in certain aspects, the television's getting desensitized. And then in other aspects, it's getting a little more tighter where you can't talk about certain things. So it's a real weird situation that we're in these years, and it's like, difficult to navigate.
You guys know the show the Goldbergs, right? You know about that one on network television, I think on ABC.
Yeah, I read that fat guy quit or got fired.
He got fired because he was basically what I read. He got fired because he's an asshole. Even though the show had good ratings, it's on syndication. Some people complain like, yeah, he yelled at me, or he was just being an asshole. And a lot of people complain, and then they just they wrote him off, and they're like, yeah, we don't need you back. You're done. And I was kind of I was just like, he not that he touched women or he fucking fought with people. No, it's because he was mean to people. And even though his quality of work on the show, maybe, I mean, I've never watched it, but I mean, it's a popular show. I know of it, but like I said, I don't know, man. Like, well, what did he do? I just know from what I got, he was just an asshole.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know too much about him. I think he's the same actor as Curb Your Enthusiasm, the right hand man for.
He's Larry's agent.
Yeah, Larry's agent,
or
right?
Manager or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, the big guy.
Yeah, he's from Chicago, Jeff. I think his name is Jeff Garland.
Is he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He was on the Rich Eisen show. It's a sports show. He was talking about they need to fire Nick like a month or two ago. So, yeah.
Oh, he's from Chicago. Well, how bad of an asshole can he be? Sounds like he's a pretty sensible guy.
Yeah, if he said fire Nick, I mean, it made sense to me.
For sure, for sure. But jumping into your week, Andy, fill us in on this crime wave that's it's not only in Chicago, man. It's like all over the U.S. Fill us in on what you know about it, man. It's just like really unusual that shit like this is going on.
Yeah, I mean, like some of it, I mean, I don't want to get too serious, but like to me personally, it's like we all seen the smash and grab stuff. And I watched like a video or two on YouTube. Now my whole fucking wall is filled with it. And I'm like seeing stuff in Connecticut. I'm seeing stuff in Dallas. I'm seeing stuff in, you know, California, Chicago. It's like going on all across the country. And I'm just like, is this shit real? Like how real are these videos? Because I saw one where like two, a minivan pull up and an SUV, and they're just loading up like those big gallons of soap, like
right, like Tide.
Yeah, like, and they're just like fucking throwing them in the vehicle. People are recording them, and they're like paper towels, and I'm just like, and people are like, we were told not to stop them, you know. It's just like it's not worth it, and I'm just like, they're just there loading up, ain't nobody doing anything but just recording them, and then they take off, and I'm just like, no way this is real, right? Like I had a, like maybe this is bullshit. And then I saw another one. A guy walks into a weekly, the guy in the video goes, this guy walks in a couple times a week. He loads up the grocery cart with like 24 cases of a Corona, like the big bottles, like 7-8 cases. And he just walks right back out and he just records them every time. He's like, yeah, he's walking out with like $150 worth of booze here. And he just comes every week and every other day and just does the same shit. And I'm just like, we can't do anything because we'll get fired. And I'm just like, damn, man, like that's like he's not even running around or not. He's just like walking down the aisle.
Nonchalant. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I'm just like, what kind of person, and like, where you could do that, where you're not even like worried what's going to happen to you. I'm just like, I don't know your economic background and shit, but that's like, I don't want to say it takes balls, but like, you basically don't give a fuck. I mean, right? Am I wrong in that assessment?
I think a lot of it has to do with the justice system. Honestly, I think it's a revolving door for the most part. There's these things that people call like petty crimes, like things that are not important. You didn't kill anybody, so we're not going to lock you up for years. We're just going to arrest you, take your information, and then let you go. And then you're going to have some kind of appearance with a judge in months or whatever. And so these things are revolving doors, man. They're just people just constantly in and out of jail. They release them, and that's why they don't care. There's like no consequences. If I didn't have consequences for the shit that Junior does, if he does something bad and there was no consequences, he would just be going crazy. He'd be doing whatever the hell he wants to do. So a lot of it has to do with the justice system. That's the whole point of it, is that there is consequences for your actions. And when you're outside the line of what's deemed okay, whether right or wrong, you need consequences, man. Now, I just a quick, without getting too much into it, I worked at Best Buy in the 90s, and I remember, you know, helping out the security guys, and they would always tell me like, hey, there's a guy that we suspect is stealing. You can't touch him. You can't grab him, but just stand by the door. The more people they see standing by the exit, the less they're going to want to dart out the door, and they're just going to give up and give themselves up. And that's what I would get instructed to do. And I'm assuming that now, because of all lawsuits and whatever liabilities, I bet you they tell these security people, you can't do anything. You just call the police and let them be. And the crooks are getting wise to this, and they're like, they're not going to do shit. I'm just going to go and steal this and get out of here before the police can come. Because guess what? Everybody wants to defund the police. So there is no police. So these people are just going nuts, man. It's crazy. I don't understand, man.
I thought he was going to say, Danny, I need you to stand by the door. This goes against all regulations, but here's a gun. Cover me.
You're right.
Or like tackle him. Right. You got my back, son? Yes, sir. And I thought you said you shot him for like, he was standing in a Alanis Morissette CD or something.
Right.
But nah, man, in all seriousness, like I see this shit, and part of me, like, I can't believe this is going on in America. And I thought we were more civilized. Like, you know, people are going to steal, but dude, at least be fucking sneaky about it. Get like, go in there and just put a loaf of bread down your pants or some shit. Like, nah, man, they just walk in, grab shit, and just walk right out. And they're not, they just got, you know, mask, like face mask or whatever because of COVID. But it's just like unfucking real. I mean, I get the high end stores because there's fucking money, you know, that's like you're stealing like a lot of money, but like grocery stores, and like they're just walking. Like I saw one where they went into a Walgreens and they started just stealing all the cigarettes, and that was crazy.
Yeah, I wonder, like, you see them sometimes in the malls, like go to like the Louis Vuitton, and you do see those security guards trying to stop them. So I don't know if like security guards at malls have more authority. But yeah, when you see them like at department stores, I saw that Tide one you're talking about, and they're just like nonchalant, and it's a shitload of Tide, man. And laundry is expensive, man. That's detergent. Just expensive. Yeah, yeah. Those detergents. So
yeah, I'm thinking they're flipping it like on Facebook Marketplace or some shit. And, like, they're selling them for like $8, $9, $5, $7 or something. But they got like pallets of that shit. Like it's insane. And I think part of it, you're right, Danny. The local municipalities or counties or whatever, the cities, they're like, we're not going to prosecute these crimes. So it's going to lead us down a path where I think they're going to start like fucking hiding everything in the back, or they're going to have like special like private security firms and shit, like fucking handling shit, like kind of like the haves and the have nots, you know, like rich, upper economic class people are going to have like always, the, you know, rich have, or people that are well off have better shit, and poor people don't get shit, and they're going to have better security and all this because they're paying for it, because the police, whatever the situation is with what we've gone through the last few years, got defunded, or they're not making a priority to prosecute these lesser crimes. And it's going to lead down a path where I'm just like, this is not good.
Well, the companies, I think, need to stand up a little bit and kind of make their voice heard amongst the politicians. It's kind of surprising they're not already, you know, like talking to the mayors and getting him to take action against all these thefts going on. If the companies don't care, then it makes you wonder why they don't care. Are they getting bailouts from the government if they lose money? And if they do, then that's probably why they don't give a shit, because it's going to come from us, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer.
Well, I know Lori Lightfoot came out with a statement saying something to the fact of these companies and stores, they need to do more to prevent theft, was basically her spiel, which I thought was kind of funny that she didn't even go, we're going to increase patrols. We got a task force that's called Smash and Grab and Dash. They're in charge of trying to, you know, get rid of this. The same thing when they were doing carjackings, they developed a task force that was in charge of coming up with a game plan to prevent carjackings, because that was a huge spike a couple months ago.
This is from a woman who has, granted, she's the mayor of Chicago, and I agree that you're supposed to have, she has Chicago PD with her 24/7, like two or three cops, I think, or something. Don't hold me to that, but she's somebody always with her that's the police, and there's police outside of her house that's taxpayer funded. And then what happened is these stores are probably going to get private security, and some bullshit's going to happen, or they're going to say, if you want us to handle our own, like, we need better laws where we get protected from liability, right? And, right, and something like that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think Garcia Security is going to get a bump, man. They're going to start hiring crazy, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know, man. Like, to me, this is not like someone who's hungry or poor or just like, I need this to survive. It's, you maybe know what's going on. They're
but,
taking
but I'm
it
sure there's a lot of people just taking advantage.
No, yeah, they're just, yeah, they're flipping the shit. They're fucking with my money because I go buy shit cheap and try to flip it. And I know that the big boxes stores went and they try to push. They told Congress to do something about, you can't make it easy for these guys to sell online, like on marketplaces and the apps and all that other shit. And I'm just like, now they're going to start saying, like, where'd you get this shit? How much? Like, it's going to be, it, they're making it difficult to have that secondary market where people buy shit. We all know where it came from when we used to grow up, go to the local swap meet flea market, and people had pallets of shit, and they're like, I don't know where you got it, but I'm going to buy a lot of it because it's cheap. We all know how
it truck.
Yes, it fell off the truck. We all know, but they had soap and vegetables and tools and shit that you couldn't find at that you could only see at your local pharmacy, and they had it at there, and like, it was like half the fucking price. Like, I remember going to the flea market as a kid, and they had Tylenol and like Advil, and they had stickers on there like, if you see this outside of Walgreens, call this number. If you purchase it outside of Walgreens, the whole fucking table was littered with that orange sticker, and people didn't give a fuck. They're still buying it because a bottle of Tylenol was like $6 and they're paying $2 for it there.
Yeah.
And then I saw, like you said, Danny, like that one with the soap, it was all high-end soap. It wasn't like store brand. It was Tide. Tide's fucking expensive. The Gain shit, like all that shit, and the big jugs. Like, you see when you go to a flea market, they got those 5-gallon bales of fucking soap that I don't know where the fuck that comes from. I'm assuming it's some China shit, but people still buy that like tons, and that's, they're trying to maximize their dollar, especially with fucking inflation right now, right? And then so it's just, to me, that shit that you get quick turnaround and you make quick bucks because, you know, as a businessman, your cost is zero, and you could sell it for half the cost at retail, and you know you're going to fucking sell out immediately, especially people in the hood, you know? You're going to get Zelled immediately, and they'll come and buy all that shit right away. Even right. if you sell wholesale, some fucking guy comes, I'll give you $300 for everything. Okay. Poor people, if they see cash in front of them, they're going to fucking take it. I hope they're... There's a little advice. Don't take Zelle money for that shit because they could be traced. Take cash. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how long this goes before people fucking snap. I think what's going to happen is somebody's going to get pissed. Somebody's going to get run over who tried to stop these people. And then that's where you're probably going to start seeing change.
Right.
Somebody's going to get hurt trying to stop these people. Some private citizen. Vigilante or some shit, and that person's gonna get fucking hurt, or somebody's gonna stop them and the other person gets hurt, and they're gonna say this is racism and all this bullshit's gonna happen. So we're so divided right now. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's always about economics. The only color that really matters in this country is not black or brown or white, is green. And people who have the green usually get away with a lot of shit, and because you got money and you got options, and people were don't have that, usually that's when you get fucked.
I mean, it's worse when you do shady shit to get the money. That's the worst to me, is selling out, selling your soul, selling your values so you can get money. That's the worst thing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, like the article from last week, you know, we got cut off there, but it's a billionaire who was just buying women, buying off the police, buying off his personal security. And it was a software guy. And I'm just like, when you're that rich, like what else does the you have to do besides, I mean, apparently this guy was just banging women right and left and paying them off and hurting them and destroying marriages. But he got away with it because he had a lot of fucking money, and then he was getting sued, and he's still I think that's still pending. But yeah, it's it is what it is. I mean, but he can do all that shit because he had money.
Yeah, man, that's what Million Dollar Man told us, that everybody has a price, man.
Hey, man, remember he kicked that kid that he brought up? If he could bounce this basketball for 5 times in a row, give you $100, and then in the fourth, after the fourth bounce, he kicked the ball away.
Right.
She was awesome. Like, that's when I knew money's power. But that's enough about me, man. Let's go to Noel. Speaking of, you know, with Million Dollar Mans, I see the Bears are trying to make some money or some partnership with Europe here, with Spain and the UK. What's going on with that, Noel?
Yeah, so a couple days ago, I saw an article about this, and I was surprised myself. I didn't know really how much Chicago Bears were known, or like how much they marketed themselves outside of the U.S. But it looks like they're about to be marketing themselves pretty well in Spain and the U.K., as they were just awarded those two countries to be part of their international home market areas. And so it looks like... from this article, says through the league's new initiative, the Bears will now be permitted to directly engage with fans and sell sponsorship rights in both markets. It looks like they're going to probably be doing a small organization to do for like youth football, you know, to help support and grow youth football in the UK and Spain. They're going to be working with like fan clubs and things like that, just to grow, I guess, the sport out there. So to me, it was pretty cool, man.
I know the Bears on Twitter. I'm part of this group. There's a lot of fans from Europe. And I just don't know if they used to live in America and they went to work or something out there. But I do see a lot of tweets from people in Germany and the UK and Ireland about Chicago Bears football. The Spain one, I don't know. I mean, I've never really seen anybody from Spain. But that's kind of interesting how they're trying to, at least the Bears are trying to grow their brand in Europe.
Yeah. Well, what's cool to me is like, if I was going to go to Europe, like the first two countries that I would probably visit would probably be Spain or the United Kingdom. So it's like,
yeah, it's Spain's just awesome. What I've seen, I mean, I haven't been there, but the beaches and all that, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, like, great. I think these are two great countries to hopefully visit one day.
Exactly, dude. Right? Like, could you imagine? Like, you go to Spain, just a random vacation, and you end up seeing a Bears game out there. That'd be next level, dude.
I know a lot of people from the UK, when they retire, they go live in Spain for like certain time of year because of the beaches. And I think the pound, it has a better, it goes farther in Spain or something like that. I saw some show from Europe about people go to holiday, and a lot of people from the UK, they prefer Spain.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of jokes about it that from the Spanish, that the British are pretty wild when they go out there for as tourists. Like, it's like a almost like a spring break type shit.
Yeah, the holiday, right? Yeah. They love it. They got properties, and then when they are for a while, when they're in the EU and all that. Yeah, I was just like, they were going crazy, man. Like, they were talking about how much money they spend there and how much they do it's all along the, you know, the holiday spots and all that. And it was it was like pubs and shit that the people who, like, I sold everything and I started a pub here in Spain and to see this beach every day and shit. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, man, it'd be cool to go out there one day. And then now that they have like more sports and stuff, especially from America going out there, it'd be interesting. But I just thought it was something, you know, to bring up. Especially because the Bears are still relevant right now, kind of.
You think they want to fire Nagy?
Oh, man.
The fans from UK and Spain.
Well, we'll see. Maybe they'll get them to finally fire that guy.
Hopefully.
And, so something else I wanted to bring up. I started watching The Expanse Season 6, the final season. I don't know if you guys ever got a chance to watch the show or start it, but it's one of the best, if not the best, sci-fi show that I've ever seen. And six long seasons. It's been a long time coming. A little over 6 years, actually, because there was a small break for a bit after they had three seasons with Sci-Fi Channel. These last three seasons have been on Amazon. And there's a possibility, because these are based on books, there's a possibility there's going to be some more seasons down the line if somebody else picks it up, possibly HBO, or I don't know if Showtime still does different projects, but
Paramount Plus.
Yeah, you're right. Paramount Plus. Now they're a player. So we'll see. Hopefully it does get picked up down the line for more seasons, but I'm enjoying this final season. I'm hoping that they wrap it up in a way that it's not leaving us hanging. They already knew ahead of time this was going to be the last one with Amazon. So I'm hoping that it's going to be done really, you know, well and tastefully. But, definitely this final sixth season, it seems to be the resolution to all these things that have built up politically and in terms of, like, safety and stuff. There's aliens and there's political factions and there's, like, terrorists and stuff that are doing their own weird shit and trying to hurt Earth and trying to hurt Mars. And there's rogue factions in Mars that are working with a terrorist out in the belt. It's like this whole crazy thing. It's kind of hard to summarize to you guys if you haven't seen it, but it's like Star Trek, but more rated R. So imagine a rated R Star Trek. It's just going to be more exciting, you know? I love Star Trek. That's what I grew up on, thanks to you guys. Pretty much everything you guys watched, I watched. And so I grew up with a lot of cool sci-fi stuff, and this one is just, it's made for adults, and it's told in a way that's exciting. And
I don't think Danny can handle rated R Star Trek.
Well, I've tried to watch this Expanse just because you keep selling it, and I tried to watch that first or second episode like two or three times, and I just couldn't finish it. Now, your sales pitch now, it's got me to where I gotta see this thing. I gotta devote the time, and I just gotta power through the first couple episodes and see if it'll hook me so that I can keep going, because this show sounds awesome. I got to check it out.
Yeah, dude, I told Robert about this, and I've been telling everybody, man. I've been trying to be the spokesman for the show, apparently, because finally I got him to watch it, all this 5 seasons, and he watched it in a week. That's like, I don't know, 50 episodes. In 1 week, he watched it and caught up, and he's just like, yeah, this is an amazing show. Like, he definitely finally accepted and came around to it that, yeah, this is a good show.
When I opened up my Amazon Prime like a week or two ago, and I saw my wife saw The Expanse, and I think she started like episode 2. And then I was telling her, what do you think? I go, Noel really pushes the show. He thinks it's great. And she's like, I know, it's kind of confusing. That's why I started watching the first second episode. And I'm just like, nah, man, I'm good. So you're not going to watch it? She goes, nah, it was just like a lot of moving shit. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. That makes sense. Like the first episode, there's just a lot of shit going on.
I would agree, man. There's
Okay.
There's a lot of, it's like a Game of Thrones. If you're into the different factions and how they all interact with each other, like that sort of dynamic, then yeah, you're cool with it. But to me, sometimes, to be honest, that's what got me out of Game of Thrones. I watched like the first season, and then after that, it just got too big. The circle got too big. There was too much going on, and it kind of like turned me off. And I get that kind of vibe from The Expanse. I'm sure if I get invested with the characters that I would care about it all, but it's at the start that it's the circle is so big that I think that was one of the points that got me a little turned off with it.
Well, I can agree. You guys definitely have a solid point with that. But while it initially is really hard to like get into it because it's so complicated, it becomes its greatest asset later on, because you want that. That's why shows get boring really quickly when they have a simple premise. It's like, well, where do you go from here? You beat the bad guy. Okay, now what? But it's like, right, this has so much shit going on. One thing affects another, and one person taking a shit affects a guy like a million miles away who's not taking a shit. It's like, that's the kind of world we're living in. It's like so many things. There's so many chess moves being played that you have to analyze it. But it becomes easier to understand. It's just when you start the first episode, you're thrown into a world where everything's already taken place and you're just kind of catching up. And you're like, well, what the hell's going on here? That you have Earth, you have Mars, and you have the belt. And they're the first episode, they're out there by the belt. The what is it called? All like the asteroid belt. All the asteroids and shit are around there. So there's spaceships and there's Bind like communities belt out there. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of different asteroids and like constellations and all that other shit. But they're out there trying to mine for like precious minerals and things that Earth and Mars can use to better their economy. And so that's how they stay alive, and that's how they feed themselves and get water and all that. They sell all the minerals and all the stuff that they mine. And so it's like, imagine Africa, how Africa is exploited. That's kind of how the belt is. And sure enough, they actually have a South African accent. They speak in a very like a Creole South African type of way. Like they have their own language, but it's also English. It's like a mixture. And they have like a very deep rooted culture where they've been living out there for hundreds of years, maybe 1,000 years. I don't exactly remember what year we're in that show, but it is a lot of moving parts. And that first episode, there's people out there that get a distress signal, and they have a choice of either going to see what it is or ignoring it. And a lot of people, they're like, ignore it, dude. Like, we don't have time for that. We're trying to get back. We're trying to get back home. Forget it. But one of the guys, the main character, Holden, he's just like, he doesn't feel right leaving them to die. He feels like empathetic, and he's from Earth, but he's living out there with the Belters. So he's kind of an outsider. So he doesn't really have the confidence to just tell everybody, hey, let's go. Like, I'm going to be control of this. But he's the second in command. So he sneakily adjusts their course to go and check it out. And so eventually they're forced to go out there and check out this distress beacon. They take a small crew, like a small little, you know, group of people to go out there. And they leave the main ship where it was. when they finally check out what's at that small ship, it turns out to be a trap. And they get shot missiles at them. And the missiles initially look like they're going to hit their small little ship that's, you know, doing like a scouting mission. But it actually passes them and goes to the main ship. And it blows them up, kills them instantly. And so they're left out there with, like, nowhere to fucking, not enough fuel, not enough power to really get anywhere. So they send out their own distress beacon, and then somebody else comes and tries to murder them. And they become super famous. They go viral because they post this video saying, hey, we were attacked by Mars. This is the shit that happened. You know, check it out for yourselves. But we just want to let everybody know. And they become instantly known throughout, I guess, the known universe, the galaxy. And that's kind of what kicks off episode one. So while a lot of shit happens, like, Holden is going to be the key player in the whole next five seasons. And he's the one that's going to kind of lead people to understanding more of what's going on, more of what's taking place. There's a lot of political shit going on. But, yeah, I don't want to get too in deep on it. I'd rather you guys watch it. But I hope you guys do open up to it. I know it's pretty complicated, but it becomes its best asset, the complication of it. You're going to love that they had that depth to it later on in the seasons.
Oh, yeah, sounds interesting.
How you describe it sounds good. So maybe when I get them in, I'll try to check it out.
Yeah, try to get through the first episode. So it gets better from there. It has a lot of notable actors. And yeah. It's definitely like the R-rated Star Trek. And if you like Mass Effect, the video game series, I don't know if you guys ever played them, but it's pretty much like Mass Effect was made into a live-action show, and it has that depth to it. There's a lot of different planets, a lot of different shit going on, a lot of aliens and stuff like that. So it's really cool, man. But enough about that. Although this is like kind of a strange topic and a detour, we're going to get into our article of the week. Okay, so we have an article here initially got from the telegraph.co.uk, but they want us to pay for that article. We're not going to pay shit. So we got this article from St. Vincent's Times. The article is titled, Omicron wave is being driven by young, healthy, vaccinated people, WHO. So it says here, the Omicron wave of coronavirus pandemic is being driven by, quote, young, healthy, vaccinated people, according to the World Health Organization. Data from countries including the UK, Denmark, South Africa, they all show a similar pattern of infection with the new variant, which has now been detected in more than 60 countries, including Australia. And then it says here, generally, those first cases are in relatively young, relatively healthy, and in the context of Europe, in relatively highly vaccinated groups, says Dr. Catherine Smallwood, a senior emergency officer at the World Health Organization in Europe. And so it says here, Denmark also said 70% of its 37 cases of Omicron variants have been detected among people aged under 40. So this was published on Monday. This was the December 14th it came out. So this is very recent. It's talking about the most recent variant, and it's talking about COVID vaccines not being effective and pretty much ensuring 70% of the people are going to get this virus. So what are your thoughts on this, guys?
Yeah, to me, I think it's weird that at the start of the article, they make mention that this vaccine is either not effective to stopping you from getting Omicron, or that they don't say this, but I got from it, well, maybe it is effective to where you won't die. But then at the end of the article, there's a doctor that strongly recommends that you get the booster shot to kind of help you. Well, if it's not preventing the Omicron, then how can you even like endorse it to take this booster shot if it's not helping you prevent it? So the only thought I thought maybe to that was that maybe that the vaccine is helping you, that it's not something that's going to kill you. It's just going to give you the flu, you know, sort of thing.
Well, see, that's the thing, is that 70% of the people were hospitalized. So where they initially promised that the vaccine was going to prevent transmission, prevent, you know, you getting actually sick, and that was proven false. You people got sick, and people still transmitted it to others. They were carriers, so it's they could still spread it. And then they said, well, okay, you can still spread it, you can still get it, but at least it'll prevent you from going to the hospital. But then that was already debunked too, because people that got the vaccines double jabbed and even triple jabbed, they were still getting hospitalized, some even passing away. So they already lied twice, essentially saying, okay, first you're not going to get it. All right, now you're not going to get that bad. Oh, shit. Well, now you're going to get it bad and you're going to get it anyway, but we still want you to take more jabs. So it's not even about science anymore at this point. In my opinion, there's something greater going on. Obviously, they're not going to tell us what their agenda is, but it doesn't sound like they want our population to be healthy by the looks of it.
Well, I don't know about the 70% in hospitals. It does say 70% of people that were vaccinated came down with the Omicron, but it doesn't say that they all went to the hospital. So it could be that they got sick, they tested positive, and they told them stay home, you know, give it 2 weeks, and then you can go back to work kind of thing. So, yeah, 70% of people that were vaccinated got Omicron. But I kind of breezed through the article. It was unknown how percentage was hospitalized in hospitals. From this article. I didn't see it in there.
There is information at the CDC that does show you the hospitalizations and stuff like that. And it does show that the areas that have the highest vaccinations, I'm talking about the U.S., areas like California, New York, Chicago, all these areas that are what you can consider blue states, they have the highest incidence of hospitalizations. And the areas, surprisingly, that have the least vaccinations that are considered, I guess, red states have lower hospitalizations. According to the CDC, at least from when I checked, it was about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I mean, but this, I mean, to give the CDC some credit, they have kind of came out and said that every time they say that, they have corrected it later, even though the current president still says that once in a while. but yeah, I just know this, that the Omicron, they're right away, like when this initially came out, they were the media was already trying to scare people. I mean, without really knowing the facts. And even the person, the doctor that found it, this woman already came out. Everything we see right now says, we know it spreads quickly, but it is a milder virus, I guess, or the symptoms. And they are, I think she goes, some of the governments are overreacting. Already in Europe, you're starting to see some of the countries shut down, do nationwide lockdowns. And this weekend on Twitter, it was trending. I think I saw it Friday night that Biden is going to make an announcement. They're going to have a press conference or something on Tuesday, and he's going to start pushing for people. but there's going to be something happening on Tuesday that he's going to push the jab like they always do, that kind of people seeing like this, the jabs that we got or whatever, or that they were issued out, I'm not saying they didn't work, but they're not holding up over time. And so I don't know why they insist you keep getting those jabs when they might not work against this strain. It kind of held up, I guess, during Delta, but this one, I don't know. And they're not really sure about it, but they keep pushing like the older shit and the older jabs. And I don't know why he keeps insisting on it, but that's my take. And I know they're just, like always, they're trying to freak out people. To me, that's like just a control thing. Because you look at this past summer, people didn't give a fuck, man. They're out doing their thing, going on vacation, going to beaches, going to fucking shows, sporting events. They said, fuck this, we're done with this. And we did our part, now fuck off. And now they kind of, I think they kind of saw that and they're like, oh, this shit's coming out, man. It's going to be worse. It's going to be, people are going to, we're going to have hospitalizations. And people are like, fuck you. You guys are full of shit. I think that's what is going on right now. There's a divide in the country where people, people know it's real, but they're not, it's not like initially what we were told 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, it went from 2 weeks to slow the spread to where are we now? And they just keep kicking the can farther and farther, thinking that people are just going to be too dumb to realize. But we're not. Like, people are not that dumb. We're not the smartest people in the world, but we are not the dumbest either. And so we can realize when we're being duped. And enough's enough at this point. There are countries saying that they want to lower the time in between each jab from 6 months to 3 months. So they want you to get jabbed, or the boosters, I should say, every 3 months, certain countries. I don't know if it's happened here yet per se, but I think Australia, New Zealand, those are the areas that are been pushing that. And just to put it in perspective here, humans have dealt with a lot of different diseases in human history. And then in more recent times in the last century, we've dealt with Ebola, swine flu, SARS, the original SARS. All those things never had any kind of crazy thing going on the way it is now. I don't exactly know how to word it. We never had these kind of restrictions and these kind of extreme lengths to stop those viruses that were serious potential threats to the human population. Whereas now this virus is 99% chance of survival. For whatever reason, we're still seeing every day there's daily cases, daily hospitalizations, daily deaths. That doesn't make any sense when you start thinking about the future. Because if you think about the future, if you're counting every flu case, every cold case, or every case of the norovirus, the common cold, you're never going to get to zero. It's always going to be a number. And so if you're talking about these boosters that are not effective, you know, and you're still getting cases and you're still counting these cases, then to me, that tells me that the government doesn't foresee a future where we're not dealing with this shit anymore, because otherwise they wouldn't be counting the number of cases. You would be trusting that the vaccine's working, which obviously it's not working, but you would trust that it's working and you wouldn't be counting these cases trying to get to a number zero, because that's not realistic. We're always going to be having people that are sick, and there's always going to be people hospitalized, and there's always going to be people dying. And that's just the way that humans have lived all the time. So it's a scary time right now to be living in, but hopefully people wake up and start realizing there's something going on here.
Yeah, I mean, I think what the world government's problem is, the solution they offered was the jab, and it worked for a little bit, and then the thing mutated, and that's why people early on were like, yeah, I mean, you need the jab, you need the jab, you need the jab, and then that's the solution they were pushing, and then they got it out there, and then there was people saying, well, it's like, they tell you to get a flu shot every year, but it's like it's a coin toss if it works or not, depending on what strain's going around and all this other crap, right? I mean, like, I'm not a doctor, but that's what I was reading. And so I think the time has passed. They need to come up with something different to do this. But by the time that rolls out, I think I already saw today that they're already there were people already on the media like, oh, what happens when this shit merges with like the Delta variant? It's gonna be like some super motherfucking mutation. Like, they're already putting that fucking seed in people's head, like, or maybe they already know this is gonna happen. I mean, I don't know. And it's just like, they just shit, it just never, it's, I think America, here in America, people accepted that this shit's never going away. So it's something you're just gonna deal with it. And they know 99% recovery for the average person, but if you're older and you have side things, then yeah, you're a little bit more, you're at more risk. But
I will say this, I have a friend who's 87 years old. He survived World War II. survive all the garbage that's happened since then. And he got COVID and he is fine.
Yeah.
87-year-old man, unvaccinated, got COVID and is fine. So that just goes to show you, like, there are people that can survive this. It's there are young people that will die. There are old people that will die. It's just a fact of life. Never in history have we gotten four vaccines for something in the same year. Could you imagine that? Somebody in January 1st till right now in December, throughout that whole year, 2021, they got four vaccines and you're still worried about this shit. That just goes to show you that, like, there's something going on here. The mask policy, like, confounds me. I went to the theater yesterday and we had to wear masks in the lobby, which is no big deal, right? Like, I could do it, but at the same time, I think about it and I feel foolish doing it because I don't understand its purpose. If people got the vaccine and they feel safe, then you don't need a mask, because how am I going to give it to you, right? Like, you got the vaccine. If you believe in it, if you believe the vaccine works, then you shouldn't be afraid. And if you don't believe the vaccine works, then why did you get it? So that's all I'm going to say with that. I think that we've beaten this dead horse long enough. Now I'll leave it to you, Andy, to wrap up.
Yeah, man, let us know what you guys think on the jabs here. Yeah, we want to thank you for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Also, send your questions and your suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Let us know what you guys think on the jabs. If you had COVID, what was your symptoms? Or are you just writing this out for herd immunity with this, the Omicron? That's an interesting name, too. I don't know why they picked that name. I instantly thought of Transformers. But let us know what your fucking, what you guys went through at ffnquestions@gmail.com. Visit our webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There, whatever app you listen to, we're on it. YouTube, Twitter, not Twitter. We're on Twitter, but Stitcher, Spreaker, we're on everything. If you do whatever app you use, make sure you like, subscribe, and hit us up on that. And then, again, Freeform Radio, we got Danny.
Yes, sir. Be right with Jesus, and you don't have to worry about half this shit.
We got Noel.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate that.
It's all good, Andy. I think if we get the Matrix from the Transformer, we could defeat this shit, but Optimus has to die. But I think we're willing to live with that. But we want to thank you all for listening. You guys have a good, let's get this New Year's going right, and we'll see what 2022 brings us for Freeform Network and all our listeners. So we'll catch you guys next time.
That was cool, Dad.